All right, we are holding on Jorge on the base, 5 lines from the bottom, last wooden line. Okay, so we've talked about, the last thing we were talking about was cases where you have a container, an ovate, a grass that's used for urine or soya, behind the bed, in front of the bed, whether you're allowed to say Kriya Shema next to it. In the course of the whole discussion, that's off and on, we've been talking about the last couple of blocks about, for example, tefillin in a person's bed, to put a person keeping tefillin in his bed when he's going to be just sleeping there, when he's going to be having relations. So now a related thing to that. Rabbi Choy asked the bread bear of Yitzchok Bashmo Barmarta. Rabbi Choy had married off his son into the household, meaning to a daughter of Yitzchok Bashmo Barmarta. They brought him into the chuppah, and chuppah in Gemara terminology doesn't necessarily mean what we call the chuppah, the thing with the four poles and the canopy that you have out front where they do the kiddushin under it. Keep in mind, of course, in those days they did the kiddushin. No, first of all, keep in mind they did the kiddushin long in advance in those days. They did it generally a year apart from Yisroel. But in Gemara terminology, chuppah means more what we call the yichud room.
It was seen there was a chuppah? No.
Everything, there wasn't necessarily a chuppah, no. So chuppah in Gemara terminology, there are Rishonim who learn that at least sometimes in Gemara terminology, chuppah means more what we think of as a chuppah. But at least in this case, and in some other places, the word chuppah means something more like the yichud room, and more than that, actually, if nowadays, we just, you know, the chas and kala go into the yichud room, they break their fast together, they sit and talk a little bit, and that's it. At later on, after the whole wedding's over, then they go to wherever they're going to be staying for the night, and they do the Be'alot Mitzvah. The chuppah of Argamara, hello. The chuppah of Argamara is actually where they would do the Be'alos Mitzvah. So it's like the combination of the yichud room, because it's called a chuppah, because it's a specific part. I don't know what the lashon is, chayfes mesama, that covers over, but whatever it is. The point is, it was at some point as part of the wedding procedure, you have the kedushin, there's the nisurin, and there's the Be'alos Mitzvah. So that took place in the chuppah. So they brought him into the chuppah, but he had a messiah milsa, and it wasn't working out. He wasn't able to accomplish the Be'ilas Mitzvah. Also, Basri La'iyuni, sort of Acha La'achoy, went in to check what's going on, and what's the matter. Chosef Sefer Torah, the mancha. No, apparently he did. In other words, apparently, after a while, I guess the chosin came out and said there's some kind of problem. It's not working out. So Rav Achoy, the chosin's father, went in to check out. Chosin, Sefer Torah, the mancha, and he saw Sefer Torah was lying there in the room. On the Lahu, he says, Eichu hashta loyasoy, look at this now. If I hadn't, Lord, look what would have happened if I hadn't come, sakantum libri, you would have endangered my son. He might have been chayat misa because you're not allowed to have relations in a room where there's a sacred Torah. Right?
Why is it?
Well, misa b'deshan I am. What?
Why is it hurtful?
And nobody's saying it's anybody's fault. The fact is, they weren't able to do the Be'alos Mitzvah.
But he says, like he's saying, like, if you,
right? No, he's saying if you, in general, you Kala's family, well, whoever's involved in arranging the chuppah. The fact that we use the expression that he arranged the wedding day of Yitzchok Bashmo Bamarta, the pashtus, it means it was in his house, because usually, I guess the Kalas family in those days were the ones who would generally be arranging the venue for the wedding and whatever else. So whoever he's talking to, it could be his own family, could be Rabbi Yitzchok Bashmo, or it could be Rabbi Yitzchok Bashmo, whatever, anybody who was involved in setting up the chuppah. So if I hadn't come, you would have put my son in danger. Like, because you had a Sefer Torah, they have the Tanya, as we learn in a Braisa. Bias Shiesh by Sefer Torah or Tefillin, also the Sham Shvay Samita, you're not allowed to have relations in a room where there's a Sefer Torah or Tefillin. Ad Shiyatsim, you do have to take them out. Oshiyah Nichem's Kli B'Sos Kli. Or you put them one Kali inside another. Amar Abayas, Abayas says, Loishanu Ela B'Kli She'en Ekilyan. That works only if the Kali, if one or both of the Kalim is not regularly used for those Tefillin or Sefer Torah. Out of the cliche will kill you, but if you have a keli that's regularly used for that thing, after you've asked of money to chad monodomi, then even 10 of them would be considered like one. We had that the other day in connection with Sefer Torah. Well, in other words, then you only have one. So in other words, let's say, for example, you have tefillin that are in their velvet bag, which in turn is another velvet bag, which in turn is in a plastic bag, as we usually have them nowadays. That's not enough. They all count as one. Now you need another one on top of that before you're allowed to have relations in that room. You put them inside a suitcase, let's say.
So how do you know that the one you're going to put on is also not
part because of it's not because it's not designated for it. If you have if now let's say you take a towel and spread it out over it, as the Gemara is going to give us an example, then that's acceptable. Or you put it inside a suitcase, yeah, or whatever.
I mean, it's not a kidney.
Something that's not regularly used for this thing, right? On the Rava, so Rava says in this connection, glima akamtira. If you have, for example, you have a chest, full of svarim, and you put that's a kamtira. Yeah, kamtira means a chest of svarim, and you put on top of it glima. You spread a cloth over it. Good, because kli v'seich kli, dummy, then it's considered like a kli v'seich kli, and because after all, the glima is not regularly used to cover these svarim. So all the bags of the tefillin count as one, and then you put it in a shopping bag, or you put it in a yeah, whatever. The point is that the reason why Rava asked to point this out, because we're trying to explain that I think the Rashba explained, is to tell us that even though it doesn't have to be wrapped around all sides of it, here the glimmer is spread on top, it still counts as a second kisses. Okay. Sefer Torah tzorach lasas lemechitza asara. A Sefer Torah, you have to make for it a mechitza 10 tefachim tall in order to have relations in that room. Now, how does that square with what we just said about kli v'seich kli? So you have most Rishonim learn that what it means is a Sefer Torah is an exception to the rule. When we said before you can have kli v'seich kli and that's good enough to have relations in the room, that's referring to tefillin. Tosfos mentions it over here. Tefillin, other things if Kedusha or whatever, you can put kli v'seich kli and you're good. But a Sefer Torah, or Tosfos says also chumashim, and chumashim in those days meant ones that are written like a Sefer Torah on a parchment scroll, they're an individual chumash instead of the whole Sefer Torah, those you actually have to have... Well, the difference is, as opposed to a printed sefer, let's say you have many achronim. Well, the difference is that a sefer Torah has all five chumashim and a chumash just has one. But Tosfos says that here we're saying about a sefer Torah or chumashim on scrolls like that, those you have the din that you need a mechitza. Kli b'seich kli is not good enough for those. There are Rishonim who learn that it means, so in that case, then, so what we're saying is, so ideally, so for a Sefer Torah, you need Mechitza Astara. For Tefillin, you can also use a Mechitza Astara, or you can use a Kli B'Seich Kli. Let's say you don't have a Kli B'Seich Kli, then for Tefillin, you can get away with Mechitza Astara, or vice versa. There are Rishonim who learn that it means that the Rabbi Yonah, for example, learns that it does mean a Sefer Torah also, if you make a Mechitza, if you don't have a Kli B'Seich Kli available. But otherwise, so in other words, either one's acceptable. Well, that's not the halacha, though. Okay. So then an example of that. Marzutra equal a Beir Avashi. Marzutra one time visited the house of Ravashi, who was one of his Talmidim. Chazi l'duchte de Mabar Avashi. He saw Mabar Avashi's bedroom. He went to Ravashi's house. He saw Mabar Avashi's bedroom, Ravashi's son, the Manach Beis Sefer Torah, where there was a Sefer Torah in the bedroom, but Ovid L'Mechitza Astara, and then L'Mechitza Astara in front of it, so that Mar, Brei, Ravashi would be able to have relations in there. Amalei, so Mazutra says... Asar Tzvachim, yeah, 10 Tzvachim. Okay, but it's enough to make a separate Rishus.
Small town.
Yeah. No, well, yeah.
The Torah can still...
No, the Pashtus, the Torah can't. No, well, the Pashtus, the Torah, first of all, 10 Tzvachim is taller than most Sefer Torah. Most, think of it, you're...
This is 10 Tzvachim.
Yeah. First of all, no, it's not quite. The Gemara in Baba Basra, where it talks about writing, where it talks about the dinim and minhagim and whatever, writing Sefer Torah, it mentions that the typical Sefer Torah then was 6 tefachim tall. Nowadays, I guess they're roughly comparable to that, I don't know. But whatever, a Sefer Torah below 10 tefachim tall is quite reasonable. Anyway. Amalei, so Mazutra says to him, Kaman to Rabbi Shulam Levi. Who are you following that, Rabbi Shulam Levi, who's saying that a Mechitza Asara is good enough? Emo de Amr Rabbi Shulam Levi, the less they gave Sahrina. That Rabbi Shulam Levi is only talking about when you don't have another room to put the Sefer Torah in, then a Mechitza Asara is good enough to get it. You can get away with it. Marho is like Beis Sahrina. But you, Rabbi, actually have other rooms in your house. Why is the Sefer Torah in here when you have an alternative? Amalei lava dator. So Rav Ashi says, "Damn, you're right. I didn't realize that distinction that a mechitza asara is only good if you have no other room."
Lava dator does mean it's not my way of
thinking. No, it means it wasn't on my desk. Rav Ashi says, "Well, in a sati libi, I didn't pay attention. I didn't realize that distinction." So that's the halacha. Sefer Torah or any of these things. If you have another room to put them in, you put them in a room. If you put them in another room. If you don't, then a sefer Torah, you need a mechitza asara. Everything else, such as tefillin, you can get away with kisui v'seich kisui. As far as printed svarim, I think the consensus of poskim is that printed svarim are different than handwritten ones. They don't have the same level of kedusha, and therefore you can get away with kli v'seich kli with them also. A practical thing of this, by the way, is the mezuzah on the door. You have an issue with that also. Some houses are built such that the mezuzah is on the inside of the door frame when the door is closed. And in that case, you would have to cover it with another kisui because otherwise you have an issue. The mezuzah case counts as only one case.
Unless it's wrapped in...
No, because it's wrapped in plastic also. The plastic and the case all count as one kli, like we said before, because they're all made for it.
Because my house hasn't had the mezuzah in bed.
Yes, but then I have to cover it. In particular, you actually have, there are some mezuzah cases where there's a hole cut out in front of the name Shin Dalad Yod on the back of the mezuzah. You have some mezuzah cases where they stamp in a shin over there on the case, but you have somewhere it's actually open to see the Shin Dalad Yod, so then you for sure have to cover that. Yeah.
So you need two covers.
So then you need two covers over that and one cover over the rest of the mezuzah.
You don't have two covers.
So in this case, you have to put one, yeah. Okay. Okay, the Mishnah. If they have the bedroom, if they have the mezuzah inside the bedroom, then they're supposed to. I mean, you ask the shayla if it becomes practical, but you know, for the many houses, it's not an issue. In my house, for example, the mezuzah is on the outside of the door, so it's neither here nor there. Yeah. Okay. We said in the Mishnah, Kama Yachuk Mehenu Minatsoya Arba Amos, how far do you have to stay away from smelly water? That we said in the Mishnah, a person can't be toveling in smelly water and be able to say Shema there, or from Tsoya, you have to stay away 4 Amos. So actually, we said before we had earlier a machlokas from Huna and Rafista. Does it mean 4 amos from the actual tsoya, or does it mean 4 amos from where the smell ends? But that was all talking about where it was behind you or next to you or whatever. So Omer Rava, Omer Rafchoda, Omer Huna, Loishanu Elalachorav. That's all talking about only if the tsoya is behind you. So then it has to be out of 4 amos because the pasuk is v'hoya machanecha kodesh and your machne is your 4 amos. But if the tzoya is in front of a person, he has to stay away as far as so that he can't, so it's out of his field of vision, far enough that he can't see it. And by the way, it says in Shulchan Aruch, this applies even if the person is blind, even if it's at night, so there's no way to see it. The fact that a normal sighted person would be able to see it means that it's also for him as well. Oh, you have machlokas between the Rashba and the Rosh, whether that part is the Arais or Dirabonon, maybe it's only Dirabonon that it needs to be, not Kimloyen or whatever. Okay. V'chein l'tfila, and the same thing goes as far as Shemoneh Esrei. Okay, the Gemara says, "Any is that so?" V'omer Rafram ba'papa omer Chista, oymed odem k'neged beis hakiseh u'mispalel. A person is allowed to stand in front of a bathroom 4 amos away and daven, and the bathroom of Pashas has soya in it. The answer is, "Hachem ma'asin beis hakiseh she'en beis soya." Okay, so you could say you're talking about a beis hakiseh where there's no where it happens, there's no soya in it right now. Yeah, right. So the question, that's what we have to figure out. Is that so? When we say that you're not allowed to make a bracha in or near a beis hakiseh, it means even if there's no tzoya in it, the fact that one time it was used already makes it a beis hakiseh forever. Similarly, when it says that you're not allowed to think words of Torah, let alone speak them, in a bathhouse, it means even if right now there's no people in there, usually you're not allowed to on the theory that people stand there undressed. But here, even when there's nobody there, you're not allowed to. So we see that it doesn't make a difference with a beis hakiseh whether there's tzoya in it or not. So we have to say no. What we're talking about is a new bathroom, a new beis hakiseh area where you designated it, but you haven't yet used it as a beis hakiseh. So then, Rafram Bapapa is saying that you're allowed to stand fairly close to it and say Krishna, but not when it was already used.
So it's not really functionally a beis hakiseh.
Well, it's been designated, but the question with that is, Vahami Boyle Le Ravina, don't we see that Ravina actually asked the question, his Minu Le Beis Hakiseh Mahu, if you designated a place as a beis hakiseh, what is the din of it? Yes, Zimon or Ein Zimon. The question is, do we say that Hazmana, that Zimon, is considered something important? So before, briefly, we talked about yesterday in connection with a tefillin bag, for example. When you designate it, if you designate it to put in tefillin, but you didn't actually put in tefillin yet, is that considered anything significant? Are you still allowed to put other things in the bag instead of or in addition to the tefillin because you only designated them? So you have that. It comes up as far as that. It comes up as far as this question over here of designating a beis hakiseh. There's a whole sugya about it in the Gemara and Nedarim that goes through various things that a person might verbally designate. To what extent does that have an effect? So Ravina is actually asking that. So you see that's a question. So it's not just a given that a new beis hakiseh that has never been used yet already should have the din of a beis hakiseh. The answer is Kikum and Vayle, Ravina, make them out Leila, so you'll Saluya Begave. Yes, but it's a little bit different. Ravina's question was, could you stand in that place and daven? So you designate it as a basic case. There's no, it's never actually been used yet. Would you be allowed to dive in there before it was ever used? My, I will connect the loy, but here we're talking about to say Shema or other Dvarim Shebekdusha 4 amos away from it while it's still in front of you. That not that that Rafa that according to Rafa Papa is telling us it doesn't make a difference. Okay. Amar Rava. So Rava says Hani Boti Kisi De Parsoi. Now though you come to the Persian style bathrooms. So as we said before, the regular style Besakisa that they had in those days was just basically an open patch of field, where an open patch of ground or whatever, where people would go and where people would go to the bathroom. But then they had they didn't necessarily even put a hole in the ground. Afterwards, they would cover it up. Afterwards, they'd shovel dirt over it. That's the kind that's mentioned in the pasuk, for example, what it says that which we quoted the other day. You keep a shovel with your equipment and you dig and cover it. So that's what it is. You're going to the bathroom right there on the ground, and then you take a shovel and dig up some nearby dirt and cover it. The basic kisa de parsoi was different. That kind is, to begin with, they had a hole in the ground, and they had a channel also dug into the ground that sloped down into the hole. So what would happen is you'd sit by the top edge of that channel, of that downward slope. You'd go to the bathroom, and the soya would roll down and fall into the hole. So those kinds have a different din, says Rava. Even though they have soya and then kistum and domu, they are considered like they're closed up because the soya is not on the surface of the ground. It goes away. It falls into a hole in the ground. So that kind doesn't have the same din as a basic kiste that we're talking about. Tosfos, in fact, mentioned earlier by the same token. Tosfos mentions in their times also, in the times of the Rishonim, the common kind of basic kisei was like that. There would be a hole in the ground, and there would be walls surrounding it. So then it's like Reyach Rashe in La'ikr. Then it's like we talked before about a bad smell where there's no actual substance that it comes from. We talked about in connection with passing gas, but he would be a similar din. So what it says in Shulchan Aruch though is that when you have a basic kisei, even when there are walls around it, you're not supposed to daven next to those walls. You still do have to stay 4 amos away. It is true that you don't necessarily have the din, as the Gemara is saying over here, that you need to be, it can't be kimloy enov, but you still can't daven next to the walls of it. Although, then it says, b'medvarim amurim, that's talking about when the walls are specifically for that basic kisei. For example, let's say an outhouse, or sometimes you have like a public toilet or whatever that's built as a separate structure, and the walls are specifically for that. But if you have, let's say, inside the house, and the walls of it are also the walls of the house, then there's no issue. You can daven right on the other side of the wall of it, as long as no smell is reaching you. There's also an interesting discussion among the poskim Achronim. What about on modern day bathrooms? They're sort of like the basic kisei shalpirusim because the tzoya doesn't stay there; you flush it away. On the other hand, unlike the basic kisei shalpirusim, the tzoya does stay there for a little while. It does stay in the bowl until you flush it. Unlike by them, where it rolls right away. Well, so that's the question. Basically, is it considered a basic kisei or not? We actually have a bit of discussion about it. Moshe has some chuvas about it. The Chazon Ish talks about it. There is an idea, Reb Moshe writes in his chuvas, for example, that indeed our bathrooms don't necessarily have the full din of a basic kisei. In particular, he says, for example, as far as, let's say, washing for bread, you shouldn't be doing it in such a bathroom. But as far as washing your hands for other purposes, that you could do in there to that extent when there's no soya in there right now. For example, when you wake up in the morning, would be around when you're supposed to wash negavasi next to your bed, but let's say you didn't. Or for example, when you're washing your hands for other purposes, you're supposed to wash your hands before davening, as we learned before. Other things like that. So those kinds of things, let's say, yeah. You can't say a bracha in there, but yeah. And also, by the way, in that connection, what if you can have, let's say, for example, an area that once was used as a bathroom and now is not. A good example of that is in 770. You have the area where the bathrooms used to be there 25 years ago, and then they took all that out and then renovated and all, and now it's part of the shul. You're allowed to daven over there because, to begin with, whether it was even considered a basic kisei is questionable, according to the definition of halacha, is questionable. And now, certainly, that they renovated it and made ponim chadashas, bo'ol akan, then yeah. Okay. Mishnah says, going back to, we learned a couple of Mishnayos ago about the idea that a Balkeri is not allowed to say Krishna. Takonas Ezra we talked about. So we talked about exactly to what extent does it still exist nowadays anyway. Okay. So the Mishnah says, we quoted this Mishnah earlier in that whole Sugya and Dachof Aleph, Zog Shara Keri, if you have a person who was a Zog, and now he became a Baal Keri, so, like this as it is, he's in the middle of counting his 7 clean days, he anyway, going to the mikveh is not going to make him Toher from a Ziva, but the question is, does he have to go to the mikveh now in order to Tovel, in order to be able to learn Divrei Torah, based on Takanas Ezra? The Nida Shekolta Shichvas Zera. Similarly, if you have a Nida who emitted Shichvas Zera, where before she became a Nida, she and her husband had relations, and then within 3 days after that, she was Poilet Shichvas Zera, which then makes her Tomei like a Baal Keri. And the third case, Bam Shameshet Shirasa Nida, the third case when you had a woman who, it was the other way around, first she had relations, so she became Tomei from Keri, and later on she became a Nida. But all of those, all of those still are Tovel based on Tekonas Ezra, because even though, yes, they have another tumor now, and they're anyway not going to become Torah from it, nevertheless, the Chachamim hold that Tekonas Ezra still applies in this case, for Shema and for Torah and whatever, and therefore they'd have to Tovel to at least get rid of that degree of tumor. But Rabbi Yehuda Poter, whereas Rabbi Yehuda says they're Poter, because in any case, we said, we had the whole sugya about the other day, where we said that Rabbi Yehuda is a little bit makel in the, we said Rabbi Yehuda is a little bit makel in these dinim anyway. He had said, for example, when we said that a Baal Keri is not supposed to makes this thinks there's a mazon after his food, but he doesn't say it, and Rabbi Yehuda said Mevorach L'chon over L'achrav. So we said that Rabbi Yehuda also would say, therefore, that it's one thing if the person is only a Baal Keri, then fine, we're gonna make them total. But if they're Baal Keri in addition to some other trauma, and Rabbi Yehuda actually wouldn't, we said also, Rabbi Yehuda wouldn't care what order it was in, whether it was before or after. So according to him, there's no real chiddush in this Meshameshes Shirasa Nida. We said that the chiddush is more according to Chachamim. That even though, that in both cases, again, whether the trauma came first or whether the Shekhar Sarah came first, either way, we said that the Chachamim are still going to require them to Tovel if they want to do Divrei Torah. Okay. So the halacha is like the Chachamim, as it usually is. But again, nowadays that we don't have to be like Ezra, then it's a bit of a moot point. Okay. So the verse says, we have a question now. What about the other way around? We mentioned 3 possible cases in our Mishnah, but you could have a 4th possible case. Someone was a Baal Keri, and then later on he became a Zav. So what would Rabbi Yehuda say? He posted Rabbi Yehuda Hassan, the Zav Shirah Keri. Well, that's what we have to figure out. Again, we had more of a discussion about it the other day, but here we have a brief discussion about it.
We said
a Zav who became a Baal Keri. He was asking the other way around. Where he was first a Zav and then a Baal Keri, by the time he became a Baal Keri, by the time Tzivilas Ezra applies to him, he's already a Zav anyway, but he was the other way around. So Keith Potter of Yehuda Hossam the Zav Shadar Keri, maybe of Yehuda Pater's where Zav that became a Baal Keri, the Me'ikra Lab Baal Keri, where after all, to begin with, he wasn't capable of Tovaling, meaning, even though now he's a Baal Keri, but the fact that he had a severe tumor on him, that means that he can't just Tovel and become Tomei anyway, so then Rabbi Yehuda passes him. But a Baal Keri who became a Zav, where to begin with he was able to Tovel, he could have been able to Tovel and become Tahor completely, Loi, then maybe Mechayev rather, maybe then Rabbi Yehuda would be Mechayev him, or maybe there's no difference, maybe Rabbi Yehuda doesn't care about the order. Well, let's look at the third case of the Mishnah. We said the case was the woman had relations, and which also makes her Tomei as a Baal Keri, even before she was Poilet, that is. And then the Rosh Nida, and then she became a Nida. So the Chacham says she needs Tzvila, Rabbi Yehuda Poiter. Now, the woman having relations and becoming Tomei from the Shichvas Zera that her husband produced is the same, and then became Nida, is exactly parallel to a Zav who became a Baal Keri. Either way, you have a Baal Keri who became a Zav. Either way, you have Keri first and then a Tumah Chamura later on. V'kapotu Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda passes. Okay, so that proves that Rabbi Yehuda would in fact passer the Baal Keri who became a Zav in that case. As long as there's a second tumor, doesn't matter whether it came before or after, Rabbi Yehuda would say that it doesn't make a difference. Tani Rabbi Chiya Behedya, and in fact Rabbi Chiya taught a Braith explicitly. Baal Keri, besides the 3 cases of our Mishnah, he added that 4th case. It is Braith. Baal Keri Shira Zivat Shecha Tvila, but Rabbi Yehuda pointed. So there you go, Rabbi Yehuda would passer in any case. Whenever there's Keri combined with another Truma, doesn't matter whether the other Truma was before or after, Rabbi Yehuda says, Takonas Ezra doesn't apply. So you can daven and learn without having to table.
And that's on the principle that?
On the principle that he holds Tevilas Ezra is only when the only thing that the person is tummy with is this. And therefore, once he goes to the mikveh, he's going to be tummy. But not when he's also tummy with some other trauma, which is where anyway, that day and the next day and whatever, he's not going to be tummy because he still has to count Shiv and the Kiyim or what have you. Yeah. Okay. Hav ganalach misha mesay. Okay. So now these first three parakim, we were talking primarily about Shema. Now these next two parakim, we're going to be focusing mostly on Shemoneh Esrei. Okay. So the Mishnah starts off. Tefillas HaShachar Ad Chatzos. The when can you daven Shachar until Chatzos Hayom? Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ad Dalet Shoyos. Rabbi Yehuda says only until 4 hours of the day. We'll see in the Gemara what the premise of their argument is. Tefillas HaMincha Ad HaEret. By the way, the Gemara did not mention, the Mishnah did not mention when the beginning time of Shacharis is, and Mephoshim say, because that's fairly obvious. It begins when daytime begins, so ideally from Netzachama, and if you can, B'di'evet, then before Alois HaShacharis.
Now it's considered Alois, okay.
Now it's after Alois, it's before Netz, but yeah.
Before Netz.
Now it's before Netz, yeah. So in principle, if you had, well, maybe now by radio. No, Netz nowadays is a little bit after 7. Next now is 7:09, so another 15 minutes, it'll be next. And right now it's after Alos HaShachar. There's a tshuva from Moshe, and there's other Achronim talk about interesting cases, the cases that you had, for example, in Russia in the old days, where a person had to be up at their roof even before Alos HaShachar. What do they do as far as davening? So I think the word post, I don't remember if it was Ramosha or some other post of that time actually said that in such an extreme case, he says they can actually dive in Shachris anytime after Chatzos HaLaila. That's obviously only in the most extreme situation like that, yeah. Ordinarily, it's after Nest, and if you really can't help it, like you have a plane to catch or whatever, then after Alos HaShachar. Okay. Tefillas HaMincha Ad HaErev. Mincha, you can dive in anytime until the Erev. Which you have a machlokas a poskim, whether that means till shkia or until tzeis. Okay. So what it says in Shulchan Aruch, properly speaking, you should do it by shkia, but yeah, but you can do it till tzeis. Rabbi Yehuda Amad plaga mincha. Rabbi Yehuda says only until plaga mincha. We'll see in the Gemara again why and what the definition of plaga mincha is. Tefillah to erev ein lakeva, the tefillah of the evening, ma'ariv ein lakeva. There's no fixed time for it, meaning it can be any time during the night. And the Gemara is going to explain later. We're going to have the famous story of Tulas Arvis Rishur Sarikhova, and we're going to see why it doesn't say Keva. Why it doesn't say an actual time. Why it uses the expression Ein La Keva. There's no fixed time, which makes it sound as though you don't even have to daven it. So we'll see that in the Gemara. Rishamu Safim Kolayim. Tulas Musaf, you can daven any time during the day. Rabbi Huda and our Zayin Shoyes is in parenthesis. Rabbi Huda says only until 7 hours. It's in parenthesis because later on we're going to have that quoted in Gemara in a Braisa in the Gemara, which implies that the Gemara didn't have it as part of the Mishnah. And again, we'll see in the Gemara why Rabbi Huda says only until 7 hours. A couple of Achronim bring up an interesting point. The Tzlach brings up, Pnei Yeshua brings up, why is it when it came to Shema, we started the Shema of the evening, and we said the reason is because the Pasuk is of Shach B'chol Kumecha. So why is it by Shemana, why is it when it comes to Shemana Esrei, we start with Shachris rather than with Ma'ariv? And so they talk about the idea is because, as we're going to say,
the question
is, why don't we start with Ma'ariv the same way as over there? We started with Kriya Shema of the evening. And the answer is, because we're going to say in the Gemara, the tefillahs either correspond to the others, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and in that case they go in that order, Shachris for Avraham, Mincha for Yitzchak, etc., or because they go according to the Korbanos, the Talmud Shal Shachar corresponding to Shachris, etc., and with Korbanos, we know the rule is Yoim HaLaila 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 HaYoim. Unlike most areas of Halacha, where the day begins with the night before, Shabbos, Yom Tov, etc., it begins the night before with Korbanos. It's not like that. The day, as far as Korbanos, begins with the beginning of the day and ends the following, and goes through the following night. As the Sicha in Chayv Kamen Hay, where the Rebbe analyzes this and discusses and goes into into a whole discussion about these two ways of looking at davening, whether it's Keneged Avos or Keneged Tefillos. One aspect of it that Eber talks about over there is it depends on two different ways you can look at davening. Is it that davening is fundamentally about praising Hashem? In that case, then it goes more with the others. Or is it about praising and thanking Hashem or whatever? Or is it more about that you're asking for your needs, which we do in the middle 13 brachas of Shemoneh Esrei? Then that corresponds more to the korbanos. So a whole sticker about all the different aspects.
Or
of it.
Is it more one?
So it's partly one, partly the other. Although ultimately, the Rebbe says that really, for the most part, you know, we're going to see it, we're going to see in the Gemara, we're going to be discussing the issue of whether the following Ma'ariv is already considered the next day, because again, for purposes other than Karbanos, the night is already the beginning of the next day. So it means, in other words, the real primary order is indeed Ma'ariv, then Shacharis, then Mincha, which corresponds to the fact that we're supposed to be making a Dirva Tachtoidim, and therefore we're supposed to be taking the nightness of the darkness of Ma'ariv and turning it into the light of Shacharis.
Okay, well, then how does that apply to the question whether it's praise?
But that's the thing. So it's both. I mean, the tefillah is praise to Hashem, and it's also bakasha tzorcha. Okay. Doing more tzorcha. Oda minhu. I have a contradiction. You're telling me that you can daven shacharis until chatzos or until dalad shoyis, but the braita says, which we quoted before, mitzvosei manetachama, the mitzvah of saying kriyashma is to say it as you get into netachama, kadesh yisma gula l'tfila. This way you can put gal yisrael right before shemana esrei, v'nimtzim espal bayom, and that way you're davening in the morning. So that implies that the proper time of shemana esrei is right at netachama. What are you telling me? Till chatzos or 4 hours or whatever. The answer is Kitanya Hila Vasikin. That Braita is talking only about the Vasikin, the extra careful people. The Vasikin would do that. They try to do the mitzvah as early as possible and to do it in the best possible way. So they would do that. They would daven Shemana Esrei right at Netzachama. But our Mishnah is talking about people who don't do that, people who aren't Vasikin, who are going to be davening Shemana Esrei later on in the day. So what's the latest that they can do it? Okay. So the question is, Kula Alma ad Chatzoris v'tuloi. So you're telling me that everybody says that the Kula Alma over here doesn't mean everybody says it. Usually doesn't in the Gemara. It means everybody else, the whole rest of the world who's davening Shemana Esrei. You're telling me they only have until Chatzoris. Va'amar Rav Mori Breid Rav Hona Breid Rav Yemi Va'av Amar Rav Yechanan. If a person made a mistake and did not daven ma'ariv, misfalo b'shachris shtayim, then he can daven 2 shmona esrei at shachris to make up for it, 1 for shachris and the other 1 to make up for ma'ariv. Shachris misfalo b'mincha shtayim, and if he missed shachris, then he can daven 2 minchas. So in other words, what that amounts to is that you can daven a shmona esrei of shachris later on than chatzos, because you come after chatzos, it's already time for mincha, and now you daven a shmona esrei that corresponds to shachris. So what do you mean your deadline is until chatzos? Well, that's one possible answer. But the Gemara is going to give it that. And in fact, the Ritva says, yeah, the Gemara could have given that answer, but the Gemara instead gives a different answer. Kula yom ha-matzli v'alzo. You're right. A person can daven any time during the day. But ad chatzos yavi le-tzchar tefila b'zmana. But when he daven before chatzos, then he's given min ha-shamayim the schar of davening in the right time. Mikan ve'elach. After that, schar tefila yavi le. They give him min ha-shamayim the reward for the davening. But he's not given the reward for davening on time, because the after chatzos is not the time anymore. So when we say that you can daven a makeup tefillah later in the day, then fine, but that's not that doesn't give him the schar of tefillah bismana.
Can we imply from the formulation of the Mishnah that tefillah deraisa?
So you have, not necessarily, because even if it's derabbanan, whether it's deraisa or derabbanan, the rabbanan still set up times for it.
No.
So we mentioned before that there's actually a machlokas between the Rambam and most of the other Rishonim on that. The Rambam holds that the basic concept of tefillah is daraisa, because the pasuk is va'avadchem as Hashem b'chol levavchem, or la'avdim b'chol levavchem, whatever. That teaches us the basic concept that sometime during the day, a person has to praise Hashem and ask Hashem for his needs, and thank Hashem for what he already did. The actual concept that we have 3 tefillahs a day and that they have a certain nusach or whatever is derabbanan, according to him. According to the Ramban and many other Rishonim, the whole thing is derabbanan. Midaraisa, there's no chiyuv to daven daily at all. Maybe there's only a chiyuv minatorah to daven when a person needs, or when a person has a particular need, or is in trouble, or whatever, but not ordinarily. According to them, the whole concept that a person has to daven every day, let alone that they have to daven 3 tefillahs, etc., is derabbanan. Okay. So now we have a question. We said that if a person missed Ma'ariv, he can make it up by Shacharis, and if a person missed Shacharis, he can make it up by Mincha. If a person made a mistake and didn't daven Mincha, Ma'ariv is Baal Arvis Day, so he's allowed to daven 2 Ma'ariv to make up for it.
Another day.
Well, that's the question. In Tim Kolom Tov Leis Baal Arvis Misbaal Shacharis Days, you could say Mishum Dechad Yomu. The fact is, the night and the following morning belong to the same day. Just by Yerav by Yerav Yemecha. Here, after all, the tefillah stands in the place of the korbanos, as we're going to talk about on Amud Beis. But given the over yom batal korbanos, so one, just like we have with korbanos, once the day for bringing the korban has passed, then the time for it is over. Or yomah, given the tzloisa rachmihi, maybe not. Maybe since since Shemini Esrei, since davening in general, is asking Hashem for rachmim, kol emes davoi matzli v'ozel. So maybe a person can daven whenever he wants, even if it is the next day. If a person made a mistake and didn't daven mincha, there's the fact that it's a separate day as far as korbanos doesn't matter, because it is true that the tefillos are correspondent to the korbanos, but that's not the only thing. Fundamentally, they're rachamim, and rachamim you can ask for any time. Okay, he must admit, I have a contradiction. A Braisa says, Mu'uvas lo yuchal liskun, when the Pasuk says in Tehillah, a crooked thing cannot be made straight, v'chesrin lo yuchal lihimonis, and something that's lacking cannot be counted. So, Mu'uvas lo yuchal liskun, deshid bitu kriyash meshal avis or kriyash meshal shachos. This is somebody who failed to say kriyash meshal in the morning, or in the evening, or in the morning. Or tefillah shal avis or tefillah shal shachos, or ma'ariv by night or by day. V'chesrin, so we see on the face of it, you can't make it up. The chesrin la yuchalim, mu'uvas a crooked thing, la yuchalispan. So it can't be fixed. So in other words, he missed it and that's it. He can't make it up. The chesrin la yuchalim, and it says, a missing thing cannot be counted. This refers to when his colleagues are being counted up to do a mitzvah. So they're all gathering together to do a mitzvah. And he didn't gather together with them. So then that's it. In other words, So the mitzvah has been accomplished, and the mitzvah has been accomplished, and it's too late for him to make up for it. So we see from that a person is not able to make up a mitzvah Shemoneh Esrei. So what are you telling me that he can? The difference is the braisa that we just quoted is talking about when he was mevatel the tefillah b'mezid. He knew he has to daven and he had time to him whatever, but he decided it's not important. So then he can't make it up. But if he missed it because of a toast or whatever, then it's allowed. Omer Ravashi Dekanami. In fact, Ravashi says you can see that by looking carefully at the wording. Because in this last one, it used the expression bitzel, that he's meaning that he deliberately canceled it. But like Katoni Ta, not that he made a mistake. Good. So that's good. So now, okay, that's the halacha. So now we're going to talk more about these dinim of making up trillers. So let's talk first of all about some basic dinim in that connection. There are Rishonim actually who learn that this business, Rabbeinu Yonah, for example, says that this business of making up tefillos applies even if you had many days worth of missed tefillos. So he says, according to him, you could make them all up after the fact. So you can have a person, again, let's say for example, a person was in jail, a person was sick or whatever. The halacha is not like that, though. The halacha is you can only make it up at the next time of tefillah. And for this purpose, the next time does not include musaf. Musaf is outside of this whole thing. We're talking the regular scheduled daily tefillahs, shachas, mincha, and maariv. Musaf is a separate point.
Musaf has a time?
Musaf, we said in the Mishnah that musaf you can daven any time during the day, and Rabbi Yehuda says only until 7 hours. But in terms of the next tefillah, it doesn't count. First of all, it means you can't make it up. That is true. Because the same way as you can't make up an actual korban musaf in the Beis Hamikdash, you missed it. Mm-hmm. But it also means, for example, that, let's say, for example, a person forgot to daven, a person didn't, or for whatever reason, daven Shabbos Shachris, and now it's already after Shachris and musaf, he can still make it up by mincha. There were two tefillos missed, Shachris and musaf. Musaf doesn't count for this purpose. With that said, it says in Shulchan Aruch, you do have a possibility, if you have more missed tefillos than that, you could conceivably make them up as tefillos nedava, which we talked about the other day, that you're able to daven a voluntary Shemoneh Esrei and add extra things in it. Although, as we said, there are various caveats on that. First of all, it doesn't apply on Shabbos, and it doesn't apply with Sibur, and so forth. Besides that, it says that really only if a person knows that he can be mechaben, then he should do it. So there is all that. Tosfos actually brings up a point over here. What happens, let's say, for example, we're going to talk about a different scenario involving Yalav Yaveh. So let's continue, and then we'll see more dinim on this subject. Suppose a person forgot to daven mincha on Erev Shabbos. And by the way, forgot for this purpose also, it says in Shulchan Aruch, again, when does it mean you can't make it up? It's only if you're mevatalit, like, you know, you couldn't be bothered or whatever. But let's say, for example, it gives in Shulchan Aruch examples. Let's say, for example, a person was involved in his business and he figured, I'll have enough time to finish my business and then I'll have time to sit and daven. And in the end, he misjudged it. It turns out it went longer than expected. That can also be considered tall. And not that a person should do it. A person should be davening first, and then tending to his business. Okay. Suppose a person mistakenly did not daven mincha on Erev Shabbos. So now, Friday night, you can daven again. We said you can go into the following day. It can be Maariv, even though that's considered the next day. And you daven twice on Friday night. And what it is, and actually you have the Rif, you ask the Rif and other Rishonim, have a Girsa, Mispal Shtayim Shal Shabbos. Not just that he davened two Shemana Esrays by Maariv, but both of them have to be Shabbos Shemana Esrays. You're talking about one of them is making up the Mincha. And you would think, therefore, you would think it should be a weekday one. No, because the Chacham, we learned before that in principle, by rights, the person should have had to say weekday Shemana Esrei on Shabbos and just add in a paragraph to Shabbos. I could say the Chachamim didn't want to be Matsriachim, but like this, therefore, so the Chachamim don't want to be Matsriachim either when he's doing a makeup tefillah on Shabbos for Mr. Tefillah on Erev Shabbos.
So since that's the case, can he ask for his needs?
No, in other words, it has to be a regular Shabbos Shemana Esrei. So in other words, it has to be the same formula as a regular Shabbos Shemana Esrei. Similarly, if a person missed mincha on Shabbos, mispal b'mitzvah Shabbos shtayim, then he davened two Shemana Esrays on Motzei Shabbos on Maariv, and again, both of them therefore have to be weekday Shemana Esrays. Because again, given that in principle a weekday Shemana Esrei could belong to Shabbos, because in theory, if you did that, in principle that's how it should have had to be, that you daven a weekday Shemana Esrei on Shabbos and add with say. So here also now you're making up for Shabbos, but you're still making it up with a weekday Shemana Esrei. No. When you're going into Shabbos, Chacham didn't want to be Matsriach. Right. Here it's the other way around. Given the Ritva said, once you've passed Shabbos, once it's Motzei Shabbos, a tefillah of weekdays could have been appropriate for Shabbos as well. There is an interesting case that's brought up in Halacha, and actually that's going to feed into what we're going to discuss soon from what Tosfos says. What happens if a person, let's say, daven mincha on Shabbos and forgot and daven a whole weekday Shemana Esrei? Now, he's not Yotze, because even if we were to say a person is Yotze with a weekday Shemana Esrei, they would have had to add in something for Shabbos, and here there was no mention of Shabbos, so he has to daven again. If he only realized that Maariv time, what does he do? Does he daven a second Maariv on the theory that, look, after all, he wasn't Yotze Mincha, Maariv from Motzei Shabbos? So does he do that, or does he not? Because in any case, what's there to be to gain? Before by Mincha, he said a weekday Shemana Esrei, and now he's also going to be saying a weekday Shemana Esrei, so there's a discussion there. Okay. Continues the Braisa. So now when a person is davening Motzei Shabbos, two Shemana Esreis, one for Maariv and one for and one to make up for Mincha, Mavdo Barishoina Veina Mavdo Mashniya. He says Atachon Antonu in the first one, not in the second one, because the first one is supposed to count for Maariv. The second one is supposed to be to make up for Mincha. The reason behind that is, that says in Shulchan Aruch, is first of all, you can only make up a tefillah when you're being oisik in another tefillah. You can't just have, let's say, for example, that a person missed Shacharis and he realizes in the middle of the afternoon, oh, you know what, I missed Shacharis, let me daven it now, and then only two hours later is he going to be davening Mincha. That doesn't work. He can only make it up when he's already being oisik in another tefillah anyway.
So therefore, first
he has to daven Mincha, and only then can he repeat another one to make up for Shacharis, let's say. With that said, by the way, there was a sefer by Beryl Levin that talks about different analyses of halacha based on the Alter Rebbe's Shulchan Aruch and other posts and whatever. And he discusses what hetedim can be found for people. You know, you have the old time chassidim who spend the whole morning learning chassidus and they wind up davening after chatzos. So how does that work? And that doesn't apply where a person, you know, rolls out of bed at 11 o'clock and, you know, doesn't get around to putting on tefillin and davening until 2 o'clock in the afternoon. You know. So Mavdu Bodushon Vein and Mavdu Boshnia. So you have to say Atachon Antonu in the first Shemana Esrei, not in the second, being Hivdu Boshnia, but Hivdu Bodushon, if he did it the other way around, if he said Atachon Antonu in the second one and not in the first one, Shnia Osolo, then the second one counts as a valid Maariv. Rishon Olo Osolo, the first one does not count because now he demonstrated by doing that he intended the first one to count for Mincha, and that doesn't work. You can't be making up Mincha before you daven Maariv. You have also in that connection of a chloka saposkim, is it that he has to actually do something in the Shemana Esrei to demonstrate that he's trying to do it out of order, like in this case, putting in or not putting in Atochan Antanu? Or let's say, for example, he has in mind, what if it's not a matter of Atochan Antanu? What if he doesn't say Atochan Antanu in either one, but he had in mind, let's say mentally, that the first one's going to count to make up for Mincha and the second one's going to be for Ma'ariv? Does that also not work, or does it work or does it not work? You have a machlokes haposkim around that. So again, they say in that case, it would be one of those cases where maybe you should be davening a tefillah nedava afterwards to be on the safe side.
Usually you don't have the tefillah of the time,
then the other one. But in this case, it was only thought. He didn't actually say anything in it that shows that it says one versus the other. Yeah. Okay, so the question is, That's the thing. You have some opinions that say that it depends only on what he's thinking. Even if he doesn't actually add a phrase in davening, like here he's adding Atochan Antanu or whatever. Even if, let's say, for example, we're talking on a regular Tuesday night, he realizes he didn't daven Mincha Tuesday afternoon, so now he's davening two Ma'ariv. If he were to just mentally have in mind on the first one, I'm davening this one for Mincha, and the second one that he has in mind, I'm davening this one for Ma'ariv, are we saying that's no good, and then he has to daven the third Shemana Esrei? Or does it mean that the Gemara is talking about here only the case where, for example, you're dealing with Atochan Antanu, where you're actually adding or taking away something that would or wouldn't be said at this time. So it's a machloek, the third shining on that. Okay. What do you mean the same applies to Yom Tov? I mean, if a person missed Mincha on Erev Yom Tov, for example, then Daven two Shemana Esreis of Ma'ariv of that Yom Tov. Missed Mincha on Yom Tov. Yes. So the question is, remember the Kivin Delay Avdur Kamaisa, are you telling me that because he didn't say Abdallah, because he didn't say Atochan Antanu in the first Shemana Esrei, command Delay Sali Dami, does it mean, are we considering as if he didn't daven at all, and therefore we're saying the first one doesn't count, Omahadrin and Lay, therefore we make him go back and daven it again? Or a minute, we have a contradiction. In the next parak, we learn, if a person mistakenly doesn't say Masha Baruch Mo Degeshem in the Baruch HaMachai Mesim, or when it comes to Baruch Aleinu, he doesn't say the same Talamotar, then we make him go back. Those are essential parts of Shemana Esrei. But Havdolah B'chonin Adas in Machzirin Oisei. But if he missed Atochon Antanu in the Baruch HaAtochonin, then he does not have to go back, because later on, anyway, he can say Havdalah over a cup of wine. So therefore, the fact that he missed it in Shemana Esrei is no big deal. So what do you mean over here that because he didn't say Atochan Antanu in the first one, therefore we're not counting it as a valid Ma'ariv, it should be counted still? And what's his kasha? You're right, it's a kasha. Now, it's not a tsuvta because we can very easily answer the question. And in fact, there's a Rishonim do. That there's a difference between, it's true, saying Atochan Antanu in and of itself is not Ma'akiv Shemana Esrei. But here, when you said Atochan Antanu in the second one and not in the first one, then you're demonstrating that you want to use the first one as Mincha and the second one as Ma'ariv. And that's wrong. So therefore, so then you for sure have to daven a third Shemana Esrei. So now you daven the first one, intending for it to be for Mincha. That's no good. Now you have to daven, so you daven a second one, intending for it to be for Ma'ariv. So that one counts. So now you have Ma'ariv. Now you have to daven another one for Mincha to make up for Mincha. Yeah. Now Tosfos brings up the interesting case over here. What happens? Let's say, for example, a person davened Mincha on Rosh Chodesh and didn't say Yalav Yavoi. Does he daven two Ma'ariv? On the face of it, he's not going to be saying Yalav Yavoi in Ma'ariv. So maybe we should say in that case, there's nothing to be gained from it. He didn't say Shemana Esrei with Yalav Yavoi before. He's not going to say one now. So what is he gaining exactly?
That's for sure. It's 2 days.
No, well, obviously we're not talking about that. On the other hand, maybe not, because the fact of the matter is he wasn't Yoytzeh. The fact is he wasn't Yoytzeh Mincha. So Tosfos gets into some discussion about that. Does he need to? Tosfos wants to say that maybe indeed in that case he wouldn't need to. Also, Tosfos mentions that case with Mincha and Shabbos that I mentioned before. If he davened the whole week, they should have to it without mentioning Shabbos. And then Tosfos says the Rif says that no, even if you're not gaining anything, you still need to daven again. So even if you missed Mincha on Rosh Chodesh, you forgot to say Yalav Yavoi in Mincha Rosh Chodesh, and now you come to Ma'ariv on after Rosh Chodesh, you would still have to daven twice. Okay.
Without mentioning Rosh Chodesh.
Well, yeah, I'll mention Rosh Chodesh in either one of them, because it's not Rosh Chodesh anymore. Okay. Fine. Ismar. So now let's discuss where exactly did the three tefillahs come from. Rabbi Yossi Rav Chanina, almost tefillahs avos tiknum. Rabbi Yossi Rav Chanina says that the avos arranged the tefillahs. They came up with the idea that we should daven in the morning and in the afternoon and at night. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, almost tefillahs keneged tzvidim tiknum. And Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says that the tefillahs, the chachamim, set them up to correspond to the korbanos tamid. The anshei knesset gadolah set them up to correspond to the korbanos tamid. So the Gemara says, Tanya Kabasei de Rabbi Yossi Rav Chanina, Tanya Kabasei de Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. We actually have a braisa like each one of them. Tanya Kabasei de Rabbi Yossi Rav Chanina, like Avraham tikkun tefillas shacharis. We find that Avraham arranged to daven shacharis. Shenemar vayashkim Avraham baboker elamokam asher omad shom. It says the morning after Sodom was destroyed, the morning that Sodom was destroyed. It says Avraham got up early in the morning to the place where he had stood there. And what does it mean that he stood there? As we said in the first paragraph, the enamida elatfila. The word standing refers to davening. Shenemar vayamid Pinchas vayifalol. The pasuk says Pinchas stood up and he davened. So we see that standing is associated with that. So as we see that standing. What, Abraham?
Yeah, what is it to mention that it was after the destruction?
Well, the Gemara is not mentioning. I'm telling you where the context of the pasuk is. The pasuk just says, "Vayashkim Avraham baboker elamakam asher omad shom." We learned in the first parak from there. We learned that a person is supposed to have a fixed place for davening, and if he does, then he's a Talmud of Avraham Avinu. Yes. Okay. Yitzchak tikkun tefillas mincha. Yitzchak set up mincha. It says that Yitzchak went out to Losuach in the field in the evening. Losuach literally means to have a conversation. But the word sicha over here means davening. As it says, tefillah for the poor person when he's fainting, and before Hashem he pours out his siach. So we see that siach is a word for davening. Yaakov tikkun tefillas arvis. Yaakov set up ma'ariv. Shenemar vayivka b'makom vayolonsham. Ve'en pegiya ela tefila. Vayivka b'makom. He met up with the place vayolonsham and he slept there overnight. Ve'en pegiya ela tefila. The word pegiya means davening. Shenemar va'ata afispala ba'ado amazeh. Hashem says to Yirmiyahu at one point, I'm going to bring the korban if the people don't do tshuva. So don't you shouldn't daven for the people. Va'al tisa ba'adam rino tefila. Don't lift up for them a cry and a tefila. Va'al tifka vi and don't tifka in me. So we see that the word poga means to
down.
Yeah. It means to encounter. You actually find places in Tanakh where it uses the word vayifka in the sense of attacking someone. And we have the famous Zohar quoted in many places in the Siddur, shaf trova, the time of davening, the time of war against the nefesh of Amos. Yeah. There are Mefarshim also who learned, by the way, that Bamokim over here means, we know that we have many places where the word Mokim means Hashem, like Baruch HaMokim, Baruch Hu. So over here, Vayifka Bamokim can literally mean he dived into Hashem. Fine. So that's like Rabbi Yisrael Chanina. He says he always set up the tefillahs. So there you go then. So there you go. You see a brayta that says that. Then the Tanya Kavasei the Rabbi Shurban Levi. Then we learn a brayta like Rabbi Shurban Levi. Mipnei Ma Omer Tfilas Hashachar Achatzoris. Why did the Chachamim say that you can daven Tfilas Hashachar only until Chatzoris? Shari Tomer Hashachar Korav Ahoy Lachachatzoris. Because that's the latest that you can finish bringing the Korban Tomer in the morning. Rabbi Yehuda Amad Abba Shores. Shari Tomer Hashachar Korav Ahoy Lachachatzoris. He says the deadline is 4 hours into the day, so it's still connected to the Korban. In fact, we find that there's a Mishnah in Adius that mentions that one of the Chachamim gave Adius that one time they did that, they actually brought the Korban Tomer 4 hours into the day. There's two major explanations when that happened. One is it was in the time of the first Beis Mikdash when the night after Pare had married Bas Pare and he overslept and they couldn't find the keys because they were under his pillow. A whole long story over there, and Bas Sheva had to come in and give him petch, and therefore that day they brought the Korban Tomer 4 hours into the day. And the other explanation is it has to do with an incident in the times of the second Beis Mikdash when the Beis Mikdash was under siege and they had a deal where they're sending down gold coins and they're sending up an animal for the Korban Talmud and then one day they sent up a chazir, etc. So at that point then they had to delay the Korban Talmud because they had to find an animal. But the point is, Rabbi Yehuda says that there we see that, in fact, you can bring it up to 4 hours, and he says that, in fact, is a deadline. If you miss it, you miss it. Same as any other korban. Whereas the Chachamim say you could be going to a chatzis. Why the Chachamim say that mincha you can daven until the evening? Because you can bring the Tamar Shabbat Abayim. You can keep on offering it until the evening, until Shkia. Rabbi Yehuda Amad Plaga Mincha. Shari Tamar Shabbat Abayim. Korban Plaga Mincha. So therefore, so that's the deadline according to him. There's an interesting point, by the way, that they bring up. Why is mincha called that? Shachus, we understand. It means the morning tefillah, shachar. Iris, we understand. It's Meloshon Erev. Why is mincha called that? So one interesting explanation has to do with what we're saying here in our Gemara. That usually, there's a Mishnah in Pesachim that mentions normally they would offer the Talmud Chabrein HaBayim in 9.5 hours into the day. That's called mincha tana. But then you have the various other things that come along with it, including, in particular, you have a korban mincha that comes with it. Every korban ola has nesachim, has a mincha and wine that comes with it. And the procedure of bringing that could take a little longer and could take as long as until plaga mincha, according to Rabbi Yehuda, or until shkia, according to the Chachamim. And therefore, we call the tefillah mincha because the time of it corresponds to when they would bring the mincha that's associated with the korban. There's other reasons as well. The Rambam gives a reason that the word mincha is related to the word noch. So it refers to the time. Noch means resting. So it refers to the time where in the day when the sun is going down towards where it's going to be resting at night.
Why
it's called plagging in half. So we're going to define soon what it means. Okay. Why did the Chachamim say that there's no set time for Ma'ariv, that you can daven at any time during the night, because the limbs and the fats of the korbanos that were not burned during the day, you can burn them on the Mizbeach throughout the night, so therefore, so you can burn them on the Mizbeach throughout the night, so therefore Ma'ariv can be daven throughout the night. And why do we say Musaf, you can daven any time during the day? The reason is, because Musaf, you can daven any time during the day. Rabbi Yehuda Omer ad sheva shoyz, and here Rabbi Yehuda says, so 7 hours, shadik korin musaf korin v'holach ad sheva shoyz, because according to him, the latest you could bring korin musaf is 7 hours in a day. The ezri mincha gedola, so what is considered mincha gedola, the larger amount of time for davening mincha, meaning you obviously can't daven mincha earlier than you can daven, earlier than you can bring the Talmud Shabbat HaBayim. So what is the earliest they would ever bring the Talmud Shabbat HaBayim? Is mishesh shoyz mechzor l'mayla, is 6.5 hours into the day. The Mishnah in Pesachim describes most of the time, usually what they would do is shech the korban tamid 8.5 hours into the day and offer it on the mizbeach 9.5 hours. And the reason was they wanted to allow extra time so people can bring their korbanos, because you can't bring you can't bring private korbanos after the tamid shabbat habayim. About the only exception to that is the korban pesach, and also if a person has to bring a korban in order to be able to eat kodshim, of course the kapara, then he's allowed to. But otherwise, most korbanos are between the talmud shachar and the talmud shabbat habayim. So therefore, they would make it later in the day. But the Mishnah describes if it was erev pesach, they would do it earlier because they need time for people to shech their korban pesach, and that has to be after the talmud. And if erev pesach was erev shabbos, then you also need time to roast the korban pesach before shkia. So then they would move, because you can't roast it on Shabbos, so then they would move up the shchita of the Talmud Shabbat HaBayim all the way to 6.5 hours in the day. Half an hour, half a shah's manis after chatzos. So that's mincha gzorla. Rashi mentions it here. The reason why, so why can't it be immediately at noon? The reason is because it takes time for the shadows to move. The shadows, the sun is overhead, or as close to overhead as possible. At noon, it takes a half hour for it to have moved enough for shadows to start being cast.
So normally it's 9 hours.
So normally 9.5 hours is the regular time for bringing them in. So it's 6.5.
After
you have a machlokas. Yeah, you have the Magen Avraham says that you count these things from Alois Hashachar Toseshet Chavim. You divide that by 12 and you have the figure. And according to the Alter Rebbe and the Golden Gaon, you go from Netzach Hamla until Shkia.
Whatever.
So that's why you find on the calendar. That's why you'll find, for example, Sefman Kriyishma according to the Magen Avraham and Sefman Kriyishma according to the Gra and the Baal HaTanya, and similarly with Sefman Tefila and so forth. So yes, Plaga Mincha is also going to vary according to the end. So 6.5 hours is the earliest. The Ezei Mincha Ketana, what's Mincha Ketana, which is the better time really to be davening Mincha, is Miteisha Sharos Mechzor L'Mayla, from 9.5 and on. So you, L'Hatchila, if a person has the alternative, it says in Shulchan Aruch, he should daven Mincha beginning at 9.5 hours in the day. So on a day when the sun rises at 6 and sets at 6, that would be 3:30 in the afternoon, let's say. If you can't, if you're going to be busy or whatever, then you can daven any time from Mincha Gdola, which on such a day would be 12:30.
Why
is it called Mincha Gdola? Because Gdola is a larger amount of time. Ketana is a smaller amount of time. One is 5.5 hours and one is 2.5 hours. Okay. So now, Yiboyelahu. Now the question we have like this. When Rabbi Yehuda says Plaga Mincha, what does he mean? Rabbi Yehuda Plag Mincha Tama Kamer or Plag Mincha Achroina Kamer? Is he referring plague of the first mincha or of the last mincha? In other words, does he mean that we take the plague means the half? So does he mean that you're taking the 5.5 hours from from Mincha Gdola until Shkia, dividing that in two, 5.5 divided in two is 2 3/4. So therefore, you would say that therefore Plaga Mincha then would come out 9 1/4 hours of the day, so 3:15, let's say, 2 3/4 hours after Mincha Gdola and 2 3/4 hours before Shkia. Is that what he means, that that's the deadline for davening Mincha? Or does he mean, or Plag Mincha Achrona, or does he mean the midpoint of Mincha Achrona, meaning Mincha Ktana? So you take the time from 9.5 hours until Shkia, is 2.5 hours, divide that in two, gives you 1 1/4. So therefore it would mean that, Plag Mincha would be 10 3/4 hours into the day, 4:45 on a day like we're talking about. So which is it? Toshma, the Tanya, we heard I'm a Plag Mincha Achrona, Omru, the Hiyur, I'll show it's Chosir of Yah. Okay, he says clearly that's the Plaga Mincha Achrona, 11 hours minus 1/4, 10 3/4 hours. So that's where, when we see on the calendars, Plaga Mincha, this Gemara is where we're getting that definition from. It's 1 1/4 Shoris Manias before Shkia. Okay. Now, the question is, should we have to say, therefore, that this Braisa, which just described that the times of davening are all based on the Korbanos, that seems to be a contradiction to Rabbi Yossi Reb Chanina, because he said that it goes according to the others. Now, the Tzlach points out, the Gemara didn't mention that the other Braisa that Rabbi Yosef Chanina quoted, where we see that Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov set them up, the Gemara doesn't mention that that's a contradiction to Rabbi Yosher ben Levi. First of all, Rabbi Yosher ben Levi is a Tana. He's semi-Tana, semi-Amor. He's from that transitional generation, so he's allowed to argue with a Braisa. Besides, which Tzlach says, all that Braisa shows is that they themselves daven it, doesn't show us that they made it a permanent obligation for their descendants. As opposed to here, we're talking according to the Korbanos, it sounds like a permanent obligation because of that, not because of the Amos. So what does Rabbi Yosef Chanina do with that? The answer is, actually, we can tell you that indeed the Ovis did originally set up the concept of davening at these times of day. What the Chachamim did is they made it depend on the Korbanos. They said, yes, Avraham said we should daven in the morning, and Yitzchak in the afternoon, and so forth, but we should make that those times are determined to correspond with the times of davening, with the times of the Korbanos. The E loy temahachi, and you have to say that even Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina has to agree that something about the tefillahs, about the times of tefillahs, was established by the Chachamim. The E loy temahachi, if you're not going to say that, tefillahs mustaf for Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina man takna. What would Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina say? Who was masak and mustaf? It doesn't correspond to any of the others. Ela tefillahs al obis tiknum. So he would say it means the obis did set up the tefillahs. Vas mechiner abanan akabonis. But the Chachamim made them depend on the time of the korbanos, and they also added that on a day when they brought a korban mustaf in the Beis Mikdash, that we should be davening mustaf to correspond to that. So it's all a matter of neshama parim sfaseinu that we're making up for the korbanos that we could have brought. What do you mean with that? Yeah, there's a korban mustaf. Yeah, it's written in the Torah. But tefillahs mustaf, we're saying, was established by the Chachamim. It doesn't belong to any of the obis. It doesn't belong to any of the others, but it belongs to the Chachamim, establish it to correspond just like. That's what we're saying. Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina would say, the basic fact that you have to daven in the morning and the afternoon and the evening comes from the others. The Chachamim refined that and decided what times of day you should daven to correspond to the Korbanos. And they also added, therefore, that you should also have a tefillah mustaf to correspond to the Korban mustaf, which otherwise would be left out.
Why
could it be Rishus? Interesting point. Actually, Tosfos actually mentions the point over here that on the face of it, Yaakov did not daven at night. He actually davened during the day. Because we say, the sun set unexpectedly early for him. So that means he was davening during the time that would normally still be day. So actually, Tosfos says, we do hold, like Rabbi Hoda, as we're going to discuss tomorrow, that you can daven Ma'ariv as early as Plaga Mincha. So therefore, it works out very nicely that there's a Yaakov corresponds to Ma'ariv. But actually, as far as your question, I saw an interesting answer, I think, from Rav Avadia Yosef, who says precisely because of that, because Yaakov davened during the daytime, as Tosfos is saying over here, essentially, therefore, what he did is he davened a second Mincha. So therefore, in that sense, like Ma'ariv, to daven at night can be Rishus. But we'll talk about that more tomorrow when we start getting into Tfilas Abbas Rosh Chodesh. One thing is it does say that Musaf of Rosh Chodesh in particular corresponds to Rachel, the middle bracha of Rosh Chodesh begins Roshei Chodoshim La'amcha. It's the initials of it spell out Rachel. So therefore, so that particular Musaf corresponds to Rachel.
Just because of the initials.
Because of the initials, but I mean, there's a deeper idea behind it also, because Rosh Chodesh is associated with women. We know that women famously don't have that habit as Yom Tov and don't do Malacha on it. So, yeah. Because they have the famous thing that originally it was supposed to be for all the Shvatim. You have 12 Rosh Chodashim during the year that was supposed to be Yom Tovim for all the 12 Shvatim, but then the men did the Chet Egel, and therefore they lost that opportunity. The women didn't want to be involved in the Chet Egel. I don't know, but we know when Aaron came to them for their jewelry, they refused to, and later on they donated it for the Mishkan instead. So therefore they got the schus that they have Rosh Chodesh as their special Yom Tov.